Okay, welcome everybody. I decided to do something a little bit different this morning from our usual Gemara Biyun, because I couldn't think of another opportunity where I could share this. Maybe next semester, if you guys like this sort of thing, and if other people do as well, we'll try and find a different space in the week when we can do this. So I want to share a piece of Pachad Yitzchak. People heard of Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner? People know much about him? Yeah? What have you got?
He was in Berlin with the Rav or Muhammad is with the Rebbe. Came to America.
Sounds like a joke.
He was a Haredi Rav, but he encouraged his Talmidim.
Went to Israel first. That's right.
He encouraged his Talmidim in America to also get vocational education, which was a good idea. And he was one of the leading post-game American Jewry. So, and I think his daughter actually wrote Pachad Yitzchak.
His daughter is a very significant figure. Only child was his daughter. Historian, wonderful scholar. He then returned towards the end of his life, founded a yeshiva in Haranof. So since the Hasidic takeover of Judaism, some point in the last generation, we're not quite sure when it happened, this time of Kislev has always been associated with Chabad, right? Yat Kislev and the massive Yerid Svarim, etc.
I didn't realize.
So Yat Kislev also happens to be Rav Kuttner's Yaretz site. And every year in Yeshivat Pachad Yitzchak in Haranof, his son-in-law, Rabbi Yonatan Dov, gives a maimer. This is a maimer that we're going to do. The maimer comes from Pachad Yitzchak, the name he gave to his sefer. I'd really say it's one of the most outstanding works of Machshava that was written in the 20th century, certainly in the second half of the 20th century. Somebody asked me, Marcy and Tamar Owen asked me the other day, just when I made a comment without really thinking, they said, what's the difference between Machshava and philosophy? Anyone got a good distinction? As in, sometimes we say Jewish philosophy and sometimes we say Machshava. I never really thought of it. Random, cynical. Okay. Machshava's broader.
No, I made a joke.
Well, you know, to take both of what you're saying, this is what I came to. Philosophy's written in the university, and Machshava's written in the Bet Midrash. Now, of course, there are people that span the two of them. Mide Pam, right, is Rav Soloveitchik. Philosophy is Rav Soloveitchik. Machshava, he's both. And Rav Kook didn't spend much time at universities, but one can also speak of him as, you know, contributing to Jewish philosophy. But Gadol, I think that's broadly it. Philosophy sort of sets itself out to be an interaction with something else. Machshava is just milibosh el Torah. So these are some fine, fine pieces. So Rav Huttner's yeshiva was high in Berlin, down in Brooklyn, my own connection to it in the sense of Limud, is that that's where Rav Aaron, when he arrived from Chicago as a teenager, was first enrolled, and he really considered Rav Hutton to be his first Rebbe. And even when he moved uptown to YU to study with Rav Aaron Soloveitchik and Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, nevertheless, he'd go back on the subway to Brooklyn every week for these Pachad Yitzchak Chaburot. And so if any of you are particularly interested in Rav Aaron, sort of trying to tell which elements of his personality he gets from Rav Kuttner is a very interesting thing. So I've only really come into contact with Pachad Yitzchak in the last couple of years. They are not ideas that you can just tell over. Right? You can't say, I read this in Pachad Yitzchak and this is what it says. And people say, ah, yeah, fair, very nice. It really has to be read. It has to be sort of felt as you read it. They're very short. This is literally 3 pages. They're an experience. Okay, so let's read it together. And if you've got ha'arot, you've got notes as we go, throw them up. If you want things to discuss, you want to try and pick apart what he's saying, then throw them in. So you'll see it's a very interesting style. It's not like any other style I've read. If there's one historical figure he models himself on, it's the Maharal. Right, if you've ever read any Maharal, this sort of like, you know, fusion of Chazal with sort of very creative, unexpected things being said, that's what put me. So, Masechet Shabbat, Maimar Gimel, Metchelet Bedinei Hotza'ah. Masechet Shabbat starts with the laws of Hotza'ah, of carrying. HaRishonim Amdu Betam HaDavar. They asked why. The Maharal, no surprise, right? Ready for the third sentence, we get the Maharal. The Maharal Piresh, the Mishum de Malechet Hotsa Eino Noheget Beyom Tov, Lachain Matril Hatana, the Malacha Hamayuchedet Lashabbat. Right, the Maharal's answer is that Masechet Shabbat starts with something which is unique to Shabbat. There's no Isur or Potza'ah, one can carry on Yom Tov without a problem. And so, we begin Masechet Shabbat with something which is unique to Shabbat, the Halacha of Potza'ah. Svarat dvarav shel Maharal hi ki gilui המובהק של תוכן עניינו של כל מועד הוא דווקא במקום המיוחד לו לבדו. Maharal's idea is that the revelation of like the true essence of something is in what it holds uniquely in contrast to anything else. Right? But whatever a festival or a Shabbat, whatever has that other Chagim, other Moedim don't have, that gets its uniqueness. אחד המקומות המיוחדים אך ורק למועד חנוכה, היא היותו נמצא בסוף כל סדר קביעות זמני מועד לדורות. So as we're putting, what is it that's unique to Hanukkah? Well, you could say Hadlakat Nerot, etc. But he's picking on a specific element that Hanukkah is the last of the Chagim. Right? From the biblical period, the just post-biblical period, it's the last Chag that Chazal established for us. המובן הפנימי, the internal significance של עובדה זו of this fact, כי אם קביעות מועד החנוכה נגמרו כל השרשרים של סדר הזמנים לדורות עד אחרית ימים, right, leaving aside יום העצמאות, the significance of this fact is that Hanukkah is the last of all the chagim until the end of days. אז אגמור בשיר מזמור חנוכת המזבח, and then will I say the rededication of the temple. חנוכת המזבח של אז, the rededication of the Mizbeach, then Tehei HaGamar Shel Chanukat Bait HaShmonayim. Klomar, Ad Kviat Moed HaChanukah, Haya Chaser Od Amud Echad. Until the establishment of Chanukah, there was a lacking, a pillar of the world was lacking. Asher Alav Ya'amod HaGesher, upon which will stand the bridge, HaMovil El Acharit Yamim, which will take us to the end of days. Im Kviat Moed HaChanukah, Nuchona Hi HaMasila Litzod Alea. With the establishment of Hanukkah, the path is complete to ride on it, to march on it, ad hagamar shel Hanukkah atida, until the future Hanukkah asher tigamer b'shir mizmor. Bevadai shetochen hadvarim tovei hasvara. Obviously, these things require explanation. You can't just say it's expected to make sense by itself. Ela shemal halach hadvarim hu kedelakaman. Let me explain how it's going to work. So he's now going to introduce an idea of the Arba Malchiot, right? The four kingdoms that rule over Israel, these four great empires. Sedah HaShibudim, the order of the Sheabud, of the literally like enslavement. But who are the empires that we're going to have to show obligation to? The Arba Malchiot, Inyano Muvu'ah B'Nevuato Shel Daniel, right? Daniel captures it in a single pasuk. לפי דברי חכמים, שורשם נעוץ במעשה בראשית. Right, we can just get from a single verse in Bereshit, these four empires. Tohu ווהו וחושך על פני התהום. People familiar with this idea beforehand? That's fine, I didn't like come across it until a few months ago.
Who says it? Is it the Baal Turim?
Yeah, and then it's in Chazal before that, but you know, it's an idea that has eluded me. So, Tohu Vavohu, how do we translate it? Tohu Vavohu.
Tohu and
Vavohu. Tohu and Vavohu, right, the primordial chaos. V'choshech. I'm not sure. V'choshech, the darkness, V'tahom, and the deep. Hakodmim l'ruach ha'elokim. The pasuk hasheni shel maaseh bereishit, right? Ruach Elokim comes at the end of that description. These four words, tohu vohu, choshech tohom, they represent arba malchiyot, the four kingdoms, asher malchutam kodemet lemelech haMashiach. His rule is going to precede Mashiach. Tohu, ze Bavel, Babylon. Bohu, ze Madai, Madai v'Paras, Persia. Choshech, darkness, ze Yavan. Shechshicha enehem shel Yisrael b'gezerotah, that darkened the eyes of Israel with their gezerot. Tahom ze Edom, associated with Rome. Malchuto shel Edom hi she'abudam shel Yisrael b'hoveh. Right, we're currently in the period of Edom. Shalosh Malchiyot HaKodmot Hem Shir Budam Shel Yisrael Ba'avar. They are prior subjugations of Israel. Im banu lachkor b'she'abud Edom shelanu. If you want to understand Edom, acharei inyan asher hitchalnu, hi b'tzarat ha-she'abud shel shalosh malchiyot ha-kodmot. Right, Edom comprises the three previous ones together. V'holech v'nimshach, and it carries on, it continues v'li hefsek, without interruption, ad yameinu eile, until these days. Lo nintzach kaze lo b'she'abud vave, lo b'she'abud madai, ki im dachka b'she'abud yavan. Did I miss something there? Where the... Where he's going to put his significance on is Shabud Yavan. Right? Shabud Yavan obviously is the period from which Hanukkah comes. Halokach kibalu pipihem shel chachamim. This is our Masorah. Ki Yossi ben Yoel v'Yossi ben Yochanan. Right? Who are these two people? People familiar with their significance? Yossi ben Yoel, Yossi ben Yochanan. The oldest figures of Chazal that we have, right? The origins of Torah Shebal Peh, right? Well before the Tanaim, right? Period of the Zugot, right? When did they first appear on the scene? When does the beginning of Torah Shebal Peh appear? Asher hayu bimei pulmus shel yavanim. In the time of the pulmus, the controversy with Greece, the battle with Hellenism, Hayu harishonim, they were the first. Sha'amdu b'machloket b'dinei ha-Torah. The first machloket appears between them. Ha-plugta harishona b'din smicha b'yom tov, right? And people familiar, Masechet Beitza, believe, daf tevav, could be wrong. The original machloket, the first machloket in history, is the regards to smicha, not rabbinic smicha, but the regards to smicha, putting one's hands down on the korban, on yom tov. When is the first ever machloket? At this period. Fascinating, right? So what Rav Huttner is going to try and tease out is the connection between Chanukah and Yavan on the one hand with the origin of Machloket, really the origin of Torah Shebal Peh, on the other. So now we really, until now was sort of the broad introduction, now he really gets into his theory. V'hainu, this is to say, she'al yedei shehechshicha Yavan et einehem shel Yisrael, through darkening the eyes of Israel, as the Greeks did, b'gzeirota, with their decrees, shegazra lahashkicham toratecha, the decree to ban the study of Torah, hari hachshacha, this darkness, very similar word to hashchacha, right? What's that? Lishkoach, forgetting, right? Choshech, shachach, right? That's the play going on here. What does it mean that Greece darkened the eyes of Israel through causing them to forget the Torah? Zu garmali de hamachloket harishona. This then resulted in the first ever machloket that appeared by Sanhedrin, hayoshvim belishkat hagazi, sitting in place in Yerushalayim. Right? Had not the Greeks banned the study of Torah, the uninterrupted Masorah tradition from Har Sinai would have continued without the need for machloket. What does machloket show, right? Most famously expressed in the Rambam's Hakdama LeMishnah, a machloket is an error in the system, right? A machloket is the forgetting of something that was once known. Machloket besafek, so we have to argue about it. This is caused by the gezerot of Yavan.
Just a point, it's not everyone's opinion that it's a...
Indeed, it's not everyone's opinion. And,
what time period are we talking about? Yeah,
we are talking about the mid-second century BCE, so the 130s.
So when did they start writing down?
Writing down significantly later. The Mishnah is compiled. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi dies in the year 225 CE. So we're talking 350 years later. But in between that time, there's a huge amount which is debated and said and passed on and remembered orally. Not to say that people didn't write down things. I'm sure people did write down notes. But in terms of a formal codification, we're still 3.5 centuries off that. And we're really only at the very beginnings of Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh will really, really get going in the 1st century CE, certainly around the period and just after the destruction of... Korban Bet HaMikdash. People like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yahshua, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Ishmael, Rabbi Akiva, they are all in the first century CE. So we're already 180 years before them, or so, at the time of Hanukkah. Pinchas says it's not the only way of looking at Machloket, indeed, right? But let's start with this. So there's a causal connection between Greece on the one hand and the Gezeret against Limud Torah with the origin of Machloket. But often, in such a way, ki ribui hadeot, the multiplication of opinions, v'chilukei hashitot, and the differences and approaches, b'milchamata shel Torah, and the war of Torah, ad yameinu ele, until these very days, holechu, it continues, v'nimshach, and it goes on, b'kab yashar, in a direct line, mehachshachat einehem shel Yisrael, from that original darkening of the eyes of Israel, alidei hashchachat ha-Torah, through the forgetting of Torah shel gezerot Yavan, caused by the decrees of Yavan. Ubechol ki haygavne, and therefore in this case, asuya hi haskira hachitzonit, and just a cursory overview, just a quick looking at it, could understand litposit ribui hadeot et chilukei hashitot keshiyo begeulat Yavan. I could see it as a part of the redemption of part of the success of Lavan. Shahare im kol ha Yeshua v'prokam shel nitzachon, because you know, with the victory of the Hashmonaim, nevertheless adayim itgalgelet hi itanu ota hatzara shel nolda al yedei pulmus shel yavanim. Right, we won the military battle, but haven't we lost something very significant? You know, the victory of the Hashmonaim didn't put an end to machloket. Right, that which was started by the Greeks has nevertheless continued and expanded and grown b'meshach hadorot. Right, so the physical battle was won, but on the level of Hashchachat HaTorah, it seems things have only got worse. Omnam, however, mitoch divrehem shel chachamim, through the words of the sages, lomdim anu tfisa yoter amuka, we learn a deeper take on this, begufo shel inyan kamo sheyitba'er lefaneinu. Right, as Pinchas said, the only take on machloket is not simply that machloket is error. Chachamim are going to teach us that actually something more nuanced going on. Look at this summed up in a single sentence, right? The rest of his piece is going to be simply in these few words. Pa'amim, it sometimes happens. Shebitula shel Torah zehi kiyuma. Someone translate that?
Sometimes bitul Torah is good.
More than good. More than good.
Your kiyum is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah through Bitul Torah.
Not our type of Bitul Torah.
What?
Go on, I'm taking all of them. Hannah, you began to say something. I liked it.
No, I just said, like, it's the way that it's established.
So, Abi, learning as a Breska, uses the word kiyum in a specific sense, that the mitzvah is fulfilled by not learning. Simpler translation of kiyum is like Hannah says.
It's not really a simple translation.
It's not a simple word, but Torah is established. Torah is entrenched, it is deepened, it is instituted by its bitul, by its annulment. Sounds completely paradoxical. Right? If anything, Bitul Torah is the destruction of Torah. As is said, hey, this line is no reason to be talking during the. Shene Emal, people familiar with this famous reading? Asher Shibarta, where's that from, Asher Shibarta?
It's Hashem talking to Moshe about the luchos.
Exactly. The luchot that you have broken, lishbor asher shibarta, yishar kochacha shibarta. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, good job, shkoyach, upon breaking the luchot. There we see just in one image of Moshe smashing luchot and Kadosh Baruch Hu saying, good job. We see in one image the idea of bitulo shel Torah yuma. The annulment of Torah is the establishment of Torah. That's the Midrashic tradition, right? That Moshe had done well by doing so. But what that image captures is something he's gonna play out. Ma'aseh shvirat haluchot, this act of breaking the luchot, he ma'aseh shel kiyum Torah al yedei bitula. It's an act of the establishment of Torah through the annulment. V'harei al amru chachamim, do not Chazal say, she'il melnei nishtabru haluchot, that were the luchot not to have been broken, lo hayta Torah mishtakachat liYisrael, Torah would never have been forgotten from Israel, right? The forgetting of Torah, we would assume, sounds like a negative thing. Nimtza, but put the pieces together, we find therefore, kishvirat haluchot, the breaking of the luchot, hayaba gam mishum hashkachat haTorah. Right, the smashing of the luchot caused certain elements of Torah to be forgotten or to disappear. And yet, that is still included in Hashem's yashar kochacha. How is the paradox going to be explained? Lomdin anu mikan chidush nifla. We'll learn here something wonderful. Ki efshar la Torah shetitrabe al yidei shechachat haTorah. The Torah can be titrabe, can be multiplied. The Torah can grow, can develop precisely through the forgetting of Torah. The forgetting of Torah leads to the growth of Torah.
Does that actually make sense to you?
Yeah.
Let me finish the sentence. Ad ki ba'ofen zen, till in this way, yitachen lakabel yashakach avur hashkachat haTorah. To such a degree that the causing of Israel to forget the Torah leads to HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying yashakach. Go on, Avi. Do you want to try and foreshadow what Rav Putna is going to say?
Because if you just have your Torah, let's say you have just your Torah, Chamishei, Umshei Torah, is what they probably had. That's where you're limited to. When you forget it, there are some different options that you can actually do to replace what your back was actually written down. And there are different options you could do, but you're technically expanding the meaning of that Torah.
But
so instead of one, there's three.
But assuming it wasn't initially intended to be forgotten, because it most likely wasn't, assuming we're saying that Moshe's actions were the ones that caused it to be forgotten, without his actions, it wouldn't have been forgotten, then Hashem intended on it being only one way, and so therefore we're perverting the Torah by purposely forgetting it.
Like it also causes more Talmud Torah.
Is that considered Talmud Torah if we had to forget it first? Wouldn't it be a better key of Talmud Torah if we kept the Torah the way it was intended on being?
Yeah, that's not what God intended us for to do.
Right, so you can say maybe Hashem intended on Moshe destroying the Luchos and doing that. If you can say that, then I guess it's not really Shechirat Torah, then it's part of the plan, and that's the way Torah was meant to be given.
Let's see.
Well, also the elements of the, like, the Torah is like Lo Bashamayim, like, we have the element that once Torah has been given to us for our interpretation and whether or not we interpret correctly.
I feel like Lo Bashamayim.
Or
I feel like that explanation comes up only when you're interpreting it like post facto. I don't know. I feel like I don't know how we would have interpreted Lubash Bami.
I have to say,
had the Mesaurus, though.
My very favorite classes that I have, and the very best stuff I've got, is, depending how long the classes are, a 3, 4, or 5 part series. I don't want to say on Lubash Bami. Lubash Bami stands at the center, but really on those first few generations of Chazal that are focusing on this project of what is Talmud Torah, which gets to lots of the points that you're raising. Maybe I'll give it next semester. I'll definitely give it at some point. Sorry?
That would be really interesting.
It's, in my mind, it should be the first thing that is taught, either in Sem or Yeshiva, or even beforehand. It's very much a Gadta based, and you can really see the way in which these questions are not machlokot, Avi Pinchas, but our machlokot between critical members of Chazal, as to what direction. You are critical members of Chazal. I'm saying that you've got colleagues, right? It's not just you're not a Dar Yachid, Pinchas. I'm saying you and Rabbi Eliezer, etc. Right?
But also, just in general, in life, I feel like we always have the expression that if you don't struggle a little bit, if you don't have some hard attention.
The Fum Tzara Agra.
Yeah, like you don't. Oh,
that's
you don't
once
have,
again.
Right.
Kind of saying that if you don't have that struggle, if you don't have like that debate, there isn't much more to grow.
Who says we were supposed to grow now? Maybe we were supposed to be rigidly kept.
So let's see if Rav Putna can convince Pinchas. Okay.
I'm playing devil's advocate right now. So.
Who's the better man? The one who goes straight without falling, the one who falls and gets up and goes even further.
If God intended on you going straight, then the guy who goes straight,
well,
like as in the.
I mean, you get the same car.
What?
bringing a slur instead of whatever, but.
Pinchas, I'm really not sure.
You,
in your answer to
you
Avi's
think, you
question.
Think it's better to purposely
look at
fall?
Gibor HaTanach. That's a purposefully fall. Right? There is not a single great character of Tanakh who doesn't have some moment of humiliation, some moment of being low, some falling, and it, precisely in that is their humanity developed, and humiliation and elevation come together.
I'll get back to you.
That's how a human life is developed. Anyway. We can talk about this learning Pachad Yitzchak, we can talk about this learning Sefer Bereishit, we can talk about this looking at Chazal, we can talk about this not learning Torah at all, but just talking about the way in which one's life is. These are some of the most critical ideas. Anyway, let's see how Rav Huttner's going to play it out. People got the place for Puk Chazi. Right, the last word on the line, Puk. People know the phrase Puk Chazi?
Go out and see.
Exactly, right? Right, go out and see. Masha Amru Chachami. What the sages said. Ki shalosh me'ot halachot nishtakhu bimei avlo shel Moshe. 300 halachot were forgotten from Israel during the period when we mourn for Moshe. V'hechzirom Otniel ben Kanaz bepilpulo. Of all people, Otniel ben Kanaz. Can't quite tell you.
It's got like 2 seconds. Four seconds.
Yeah, the way in which Chazal read sort
he's
of.
The first shofet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With his pilpul. With his svara, a lot of midrashei agadah about sort of
like
not major characters in Tanakh are very strange.
What character development do we have?
Yeah, Doeg was the avbetdin in Nov, etc. It's very, very strange. But anyway, with his pilpul, he brought back these halachot which had been forgotten. V'harei divrei Torah halalu shel pilpul hachzarat halachot. This Divrei Torah, through pilpul, through sharp insight, returns these halachot. Hem, hem, these are the very Divrei Torah, shnitrabu rak al yedei shechachat haTorah, which are expanded only through the fact that they've forgotten. V'lo od, and what's more, el shekol inyan ha-machloket b'halacha, the whole role of machloket, eino ela mitzad shechachat haTorah, could only come about through the forgetting of Torah. Right, machlok, it wouldn't exist were it for not for something to be been forgotten. Vaf al pikein, and even if this is so, halokach amru chachamim, did not the sages say, af al pisha halalu mataharin v'halalu matmein, even though there's bet shammai and there's bet hillel, those that say something is tahar, those that say something is tamei, halalu poskin v'halalu machshirin, those that allow, those that prohibit, halalu potrin v'halalu mitchayivim, etc. Machlokot everywhere we look. Nevertheless, elu v'elu divrei elokim chayim. These ones and these ones are the words of the living God. Benimtza, and do we therefore find the chol chilukei hadeot, this diversity of opinion, the chilufei shitot, and the range of approaches, hem hagdalat haTorah. They are the enlarging, the greatening of the Torah, the hadarata, and the honouring of it. Hanoldot dafka b'kocha shel shichachat haTorah, which is born precisely through the forgetting of Torah. I really feel like this course that I've got is that's been my favourite Torah for years to teach. I've probably taught the course 5 or 6 times, and until I came across this piece 2 weeks ago, sitting in Munkach in Me'er Sharim, which is a small Hasidic shtibul that I like to daven in sometimes. It's all here just in one beautiful piece by him.
I mean, it also kind of makes sense. Like, I was just thinking that this is a response for Pinchas. I'm not completely satisfied with this, but it kind of, like, goes to the question of why is Torah Shabbat Pe'ah as opposed to the Tav? Because if you say it's all we're just supposed to follow exactly like what God said, there's no deviation, then there's no reason for it to not be considered written down. But the whole point of having something that's oral is because it's something you remember orally, it's more analytical, and you're more, like, and it, like, when something is about, like, remembering with your head, and it's not, like, just the written down, then it's about analysis and thinking about something, and, like, thinking, like, what makes sense, and it's, like, an analytical process that you have when something is oral as opposed to being written down. It's written down, it seems more letter of the law-ish, and then...
Balpeh gives a fluidity.
Yeah, and then just the nature of it being oral, just... not out of the forgetfulness, not out of the ability to forget because it's oral, as opposed to written down, but because of the nature of it being given orally as opposed to written down from the beginning seems to lend to the whole point of Makoko.
I don't necessarily respond. Mm-hmm. An interesting point. Thank you.
According to this, if we're getting Torah and discussing it leads even to like greater Torah, wouldn't the Rabbanan be, shouldn't that be greater than Doraita then? According to this, because like let's say if that's like if that's what the purpose of, you forget the Torah of Shabbatot, let's say, then you would net and establish a Torah with Shabbatot, which is strengthening the Torah. Shouldn't we follow those laws even more?
It's still not God.
You can't deny what's been given Torah Sinai. Like, you can't
we're
say,
saying it's
oh, well, that's not important at all.
It's not saying it's God. The actual words are saying it's within the spirit of Hashem's Torah. Like, that's what I've interpreted it as. Like,
yeah, and then it should be the same exact thing as a Torah Shabbat.
But we're not God.
But remember, this is an interesting discussion that's going on, but the question is slightly misplaced. This isn't a simple distinction between Doraita and Dorabanan, this discussion, right? Divrei Chachamim can also be Doraita, meaning it's their interpretations of the Doraita, right?
Dorabanan's usually like...
Should I add in something else, just a little bit of other Machshava also written in New York in the 20th century? I'd like to learn this separately, so it's a shame to just do it in 1 minute, but it's so powerful. Rav Moshe Feinstein begins Igrot Moshe with a reading of the Gemara in Menachot, right? B'shar she'ala Moshe l'marom, time that Moshe went up on high, matzala kadosh baruch hu kosher otiyot l'kosher katarim l'otiyot. Be familiar with the Gemara? Hashem was attaching crowns to the letters. You know the Gemara? You know what? Sorry, forget I said it. I'm not going to spoil it. It's too good to say in two minutes. As in, I'm not going to teach both the Gemara and then this great, brilliant interpretation of the Gemara. We'll do it another time, okay?
Maybe they've heard it.
Hannah, got another 3.5 years here. We'll, we'll find time. Don't worry. Some other people asked me for a machshava for Gordon. It's something which isn't classic Gemara, which isn't Tanakh. I'd be happy to find it if there's enough demand. And if there isn't, then we'll do a one-off class on Hakdama Ligrat Moshe. Anyway, the Chiddush Od Yatel Gadol. Another chiddush, greater than this, yotzei lanu mikan, emerges to us from this. This is paragraph Dalet. Ki meruba hi medat havlatat kocha shel Torah shebal peh, hamitgale b'machloket hadeot, me'asher b'makom haskamat hadeot. A little bit difficult to translate. Meruba hi midat havlatat kocha shel Torah. Greater is the aspect, the attribute of havlatat kocha, like... greater is the strength of Torah which comes about through forgetting and therefore through machloket in response. Ma'asher b'makom, in contrast to which, where there is just agreement. I mean, the strength of Torah is greater when it comes about through machloket than when everybody says, yeah, we agree, there's no discussion to have. Diversity of opinion brings to a greater level of Talmud Torah than simple unanimity. Kihalo, b'hach de'elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Within this famous phrase, these and these are the words of the living God. Kalul hu hayisod is encompassed, the principle. Ki gam hashita hanidchit, also the rejected opinion. Mehalacha, dat Torahi. Right? Very critical, important Mishnah in Masechet Eduyot, which tells us that we maintain the minority opinion. The minority opinion which is not accepted, the halakha, is not then just erased. It is kept there and maintained. As long as, this is so important, right? As in, here is, we're putting it just in the next few words, giving the qualification for what counts as a legitimate opinion within Torah Shebal Peh, right? Does this idea mean that anything can be said? Anything can be said, says Rav Putna, imrak ne'emra, as long as it is said, lefi gidrei hamasa v'matan shel Torah Shebal Peh.
That's vague.
It is vague, but it definitely does say something. Right? As long as it's said according to gidrei, according to the standards of masa v'matan, of give and take with Torah Shebal Peh, as long as it fits within the framework, then anything can be said.
Respect for Allah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. V'hainu mishum, and this is because the Torah nitna al datam shel chachmei haTorah. Torah is given with the opinions of the sages of Israel. V'im ya'amdu l'minyan achar kach, and if another greater group of sages should arrive afterwards, achar kach v'yachriu kahadeya hanitchit, and will decide like the rejected opinion in a previous age. Mikan ve'elech, from here onwards, tishtane ha'halacha. The halacha will change. Aliba de emet, according to the truth. V'nimtza, and we find therefore, ki machlochtam shel chachmei haTorah megale et kocha shel Torah shebal peh, haber yoter ma'asher haskamatam. Right, that's the takeout sentence. If it was a newspaper article, that would be the line made bold. We therefore find that the machlokot of the sages of Israel reveals the truth of Torah shebal peh far greater than their agreement would. Let's just finish the paragraph. Milchamata shel Torah einena ofen echad bein ofanim shel divrei Torah. The war of Torah, machlokot, is not just one way of doing divrei Torah. Ela shemilchamata shel Torah hi yetzira chiyuvit. The war of Torah is the creative energy, the positive creation, yetzira chiyuvit, shel erkei Torah chadashim, of the new values, the newness of the Torah, she'ein limtso dugmatam b'divrei Torah stam, which one cannot find simply in uncontested divrei Torah. Hannah?
No, I
want to ask you if you could summarize it. Oh. What's it called? I don't know. I'm just looking at these paragraphs. Like, I feel like he's...
Are you answering Hannah's question?
No. I did not hear her question. I didn't realize that she asked
it. Sorry, Hannah's question was to summarize it.
Oh, got it. I just heard the word summarize. Wasn't too bad.
I think I would put it as follows. That dispute, disagreement about Divrei Torah, about Halakha, although it has its origin in Hashkacha, in forgetting of Torah, nevertheless, and therefore is sort of seen as a negative or as a bidyevet, nevertheless brings about a creative energy and a strength which is far greater than it would be if everybody just agreed and if the tradition, the Masorah, was never interrupted. The Haraya, and here's the proof, that when you have two opinions, clearly one of them is historically wrong because there was this forgetting. Nevertheless, the Mishnah in Eduyot tells us we keep the rejected opinion because maybe one day the majority of the sages of Israel will decide like that opinion. What do we see through that? That it's not just, oh, we're trying to make up for that which is lost, but in fact the creative, the dispute which brings about this disagreement is in fact part of the creative process of Torah Shebal Peh itself, and this machlok, it brings about a greater strength of Torah Shebal Peh than in place of agreement. That makes sense? Pinchas?
No, I'm just thinking about how to phrase my point, but I'll get back to it maybe.
So if I remember correctly, this next paragraph is going to give us an insight. He's going to be commenting on a small Gemara, which I place a lot of weight on in this series that I give. He's going to give a beautiful take on it, and one which possibly could affect every chavruta you ever have. If you take it seriously. Al ken yomar, thus is it said, B'sefer milchamot Hashem et vahav v'sofa. V'pirshu chachamim, the sages explain. This is, he doesn't say where it is, it's Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed, I believe. Afilu av v'bono, even father and son, v'rav v'talmido, rabbi and student, when they learn with one another, na'asim sonim ze leze, they hate one another. Everybody had a chavruta once that they hated?
I wouldn't be having a chavruta.
Well, you didn't have to break up.
Strongly dislike.
Do I hate them during the chavruta only, or afterwards also?
Well... That's the continuation. Ve'einam zazim misham, and they do not move from there. Al shena'asim ohavim ze leze, until they return to loving one another.
Hey.
So he's going to give two ways of reading this. Right, it seems to be this is a classic way Rapupna works.
Do you love him now?
That's right.
I'm read enough of Rapupna to say this definitely, but I think what he'll often do is he'll take a classic Ma'amar Chazal, statement of Chazal, give the simple reading of it, and then give his own reading. Bahashkafa harishana, first glance, hadvarim halalu, these words, ba'im lahashmi'enu, come to teach us, et harabuta, of the significance, the greatness, begodel kocho shel chibur ahava, of the power of this sort of loving friendship connection, hatamun b'divrei Torah, which is contained within Divrei Torah. The Divrei Torah is the possibility for some of the most wonderful relationships and friendships we have. Dehainu, which is to say, shekocho shel chibur ahava, the strength of this friendship, ze gadol hu ad this is so significant, ad kedei havtachat hariot ha-ne'emra, afilu le'ela shemikodim na'asu sonim lezeh lezeh. That we can say that even if chavrutot really dispute with one another and really fighting with one another, Divrei Torah contain the potential that they will really bring them to actually have a deep, strong, affectionate relationship with one another. Lefi havanazu, according to this understanding, harabuta, the rabuta, that means sort of like the chidush, the bit that we're actually taught by this statement, hibakan is in that kilamrot hasina, despite the literally hatred they have for one another, shel shat hamachloket, at that moment when they're disputing, harei lebesof, at the end, bahi ha'ahava umachriya ota, right, love, what's the phrase, love, thank you Hannah, love conquers all in the end. That's what this phrase is teaching us, right? Veinam zizim misham ad shenazim naseh ohavim, and they don't move from there until they love with one another. That's the simple reading of it, that the power of Talmud Torah is such that even in the heat of the moment, one feels one's really fighting with one's chavruta, nevertheless, love will conquer. Aval, mikevan shenitbahara lanu hanekuda, as we have clarified the point in our discussion until now, ki milchamata shel Torah, that the war of Torah, hi madregat yitzira chadasha, is considered to be a new creation, nosefet, additional, al madregat divrei Torah stam, over and above, just simple, agreed, undisputed divrei Torah, hare behirut zu, this clarity, talamdenu, should teach us, ledat she'ena hinyan bekan, the correct reading of this statement, loving and hating, is not that sha'ahava levesof bahi, that love conquers all at the end, lamrot, despite hamachloket hakodemet, the prior machloket, ela rather shekachu derech gidula shel ahava, this is the way of growing this love, zuhi shenoda umitgadelet, that it is born and it grows, dafka al karka hamachloket hakodemet. What poetry! Specifically on the ground, on the fertile earth of the previous machloket. It's not that the love conquers despite, it is precisely through the sina, precisely through the dispute that chavruta will have with one another, that is what brings about the ahava. Not the despite, but because of. Because the sina is not just an unnecessary and not just an unfortunate byproduct of the meeting of two minds. The sina, this milchama shel Torah, is the actual creation of Torah. That's the whole idea of chavruta, that two minds bring more to the table than one. In their dispute, they create something new. In their sin'ah, they create something new. And because of that new creation, therefore, ahava comes at the end. Mipnei shekol ahava, because all love, this is something to take well beyond your chavruta and into all of your personal relationships. This is really poetry. Shekol ahava, all love between two people, magia lamarom piskata, reaches its peak, its pinnacle, b'shah sheshnei hatzdadim yesh lahem shutfut shel yitzira, at a time when both of the sides have shutfut, have partnership in some creation. What a line, huh?
What?
What a powerful line. I mean, like, you know, thinking about that as, you know, from the point of view of partnership and marriage and parents, love reaches its peak when there is something that is created by, equally by the two sides. Hen hen with regards to parenting, hen hen with regards to Talmud Torah. The Shnei HaTzadim and the two sides. Hamitnagchim b'halacha. I think mitnagchim is like Baba Kama, right?
Shorsha nagach,
right? Gore one another. These two sides which gore one another b'halacha. Harehem shutfim litzor shel erech Torah chadash. They are partners in some new creation, some new value of Torah. Asher shemo hu milchamata shel Torah, which we call milchemet haTorah, the war of Torah.
Started off quoting from the
Melchamot Hashem.
Yeah,
maybe that's the idea. And with this we return. Lahatchalat hadvarim, to where we started. Mitziut shel machloket bedivrei Torah, the emergence, the reality of machloket in Torah. Haholechet v'nimshechet ad yameinu eile, which has carried on and continued until these days. Nolda was born b'choshech Yavan, in the darkness of Greece. Mikol makom, nevertheless, ein mitziyot zu shior b'geulat Yavan. This reality should not be considered part of Greece's victory. Right? If you remember the point that he made, it sort of seems like the Hashmonaim won the military physical battle, but in a sense, the religious spiritual battle was lost by the fact that Machloket has continued until this day. Now, at the end of the piece, we can see that that's not the case. Although Machloket was born in the darkness of Yavan, it should not be considered a victory to the Greeks. Adarabba, on the contrary, Porkan Chanukah, al yidei Beit Din shel Hashmonaim, the victory of Chanukah through the Beit Din of the Hasmoneans, he nitzachon al choshech Yavan, his victory over the darkness of Greece, al yedei hotza'at ha'or, through the bringing out of light, mitoch ha'choshech atzmo, from the darkness itself. Yagdil Torah v'yadir, to grow Torah and to beautify it, al yedei shichachat ha'torah, through the forgetting of Torah. Bitula zuhi zehi kiuma. The original annulment during the time of the Greeks led to the first machloket, led to the establishment, that was Hannah's translation, and the true glorification and enlarging of Talmud Torah. Ba'od, shemapalatan shel Bavel v'shel Madai, whilst the fall of these previous empires, haita omnam refuah, was indeed a healing, l'shit obudah shel Knesset Yisrael, to the enslavement of Israel. Parema palata shel malchut Yavan harasha, the falling of Greece. Sorry. Harei maplata shel Yavan haya gam mishum retia asher huchna mitoch hamaka atzma. That's quite a difficult translator. Retia is a bandage. The persecution of the Greeks was at one and the same time both machala and refuah. It was a strike at the body of Israel, Hashgachat Torah, which nevertheless contained within it not just the refuah, but actually much greater, to reach a strength that it was not previously had. Kusha'amda malchut Yavan harasha al amcha Yisrael lahashgicham Torah techa, right? We say this al hanisim, when the power of Greece, the wicked Greece, stood against your people Israel to make them forget Torah. V'hinei b'toch hashchacha atzma, through the very forgetting, patchu pihem mayanot Torah chadashim, their mouths opened new wellsprings of Torah. Al yidei pilpula shel Torah, through their sharp intellectual discussions, hamichadesh levkarim, which is renewed with great frequency, l'shem hachzarat birura shel Torah, through the returning, the clarity of Torah, haholechet v'mishtachechet, which continues. Chanukah hakviyut harachrona. Chanukah is the final establishment, besidrei zmanim shel mo'adei dorot, in the order of the festivals throughout the generations. Mikevan shegam beguf hachoshech, since in the midst of the darkness itself, shel hashgachat atzma, of the forgetting, Yitachen limtso, we can also find nitzotze orah, sparks of light, shel ribuyei Torah, of the enlargement of Torah. Shuv efshar, thus is it also possible, b'kocha shel segula zu, through the strength of this segula, Litzod b'misilat hashkacha, to walk on the path of forgetting, hashkacha ha'arucha shel galut Edom, this long exile of Edom, hamobila ad acharit yamim, that takes us to the end of days. Such darkness also contains within it the potential for a growth that did not exist beforehand. As egmor b'shir mizmor chanukat hamizbeach, then will I finish with a psalm of praise upon the rededication of the temple. Kach Rav Hutna, that Chanukah doesn't just celebrate a military victory. Chanukah is also to be seen as really the origins of Torah Shebal Peh. Bitula hi kiyuma, that annulment of Torah results in the kiyum of Torah. Just to finish with a lovely midrash, as Pinchas said right at the start, maybe thinking he was disagreeing with Rav Hutna, but also prefacing Rav Hutna. The idea of machloket as error is not the only way of looking at machloket. There's also a view way of looking at machloket as a much more creative and positive energy, which is what Rav Hutna has obviously ended up with. You might be familiar with the idea of mem tet panim latahor or mem tet panim latame, right? These 49 ways. 49 is sort of seemingly some symbolic idea. There are 49 ways of declaring something tahor, 49 ways of declaring something tame. That sort of like encompasses the massive range and dimensions of Torah Shebal Peh. Listen to this midrash. Shir HaShirim Rabba, right? Shir HaShirim, this love song between a man and a woman, understood as a metaphor between either the individual and God or between Am Yisrael and God. Pasuk v'diglo alai ahava, and his banner over me is love, right? He waves his banner over me, says the midrash. V'diglo the gematria memtet, right? The numerical value of the diglo is 49. In other words, what is the banner of love that the Dod raises over the Raya, the beloved over the beloved? What is this banner of love between Am Yisrael and Hashem? That is machloket, right? That is the instantiation, that is the essence of the relationship, really, of the romantic relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. Hanukkah Sameach, everyone. Yossi ben Yo'ezer and... Yeah, smicha. Not rabbinic smicha, but... yeah, that's the original machloket in this
book. Why is that machloket then attributed to... What's it called?
There's a continuation of it with Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel. Yossi ben Yo'ezer and Yossi ben Yochanan.
Yeah.